These are the recollections of Amzal from Rabbi Baruch Ber Yaffe.
It's going to be different than anyone you hear.
I want everybody to be different.
When you were in his presence, you felt that you were in the presence of the Shekhinah. His eyes shined. It would just, you just felt that this was someone special, and his eyes penetrated, it went through you. When you heard a shir, if you close your eyes, the fire and thunder, the way he spoke, you would think you had Maimed HaSinai.
You remember some of your very early recollections when you first saw him?
I was a kid. I grew up, and my parents always brought us to him, and I saw him at various different kufas in my growing up, from camp, and our younger years, teenage years. He just was, the awe around him was something very special. I mean, I do remember also after a shir, I remember in Philadelphia once, after a shir, he was so tired, he put so much kaychas into the shir, like after, you just saw it. There's a picture around someplace when the end of that shir, you just saw that, it took everything out of him, but that was him. But while he was in the shir, he was, you know, you thought he had the man with the biggest kaychas. And I have in front of me a description from the Debrecener Rav. It's so clear, but this is what everybody saw. He's talking about the Rashi Zatzal, and he says, Boyarim kilapid esh, ve'einav habdolchim noitzin ke'evin habarat mikdushas terosai. And then he was paskining on Shaila they had then, if they should borrow park, if they should translate to Yiddish or to Hebrew, you know, and he was very stark. That like the Debrecener, that it should not be translated to English. It should be into Hebrew. It should be in Yiddish. But the Debrecener, when he, you know, after the shiur, they came to a din Torah Rashi Zatzal. So this is the way he described it, the way he looked. These words, these phrases that I said, and this is what you always saw by him. It's an interesting psak he had. He says he has Kabbalah from B'day Gedolei Litvshe that than Holland. Befrat, the city of Amsterdam, Shoya Mokar Atayra, Mayor Shunim, Soya Atayga, Mahingi Shro, Yoshua Kisra Rabbanis, Vahatta Kamat, and Zecher, Larishainim, Hoya Beglash, Shashino Alimut, Vazum of the Targan Khosh, Be Yiddish, Lelosh, Namadina, Vaz, Shavar, Ashavi Yudbuku. What is this? In English and everything. I don't know if he would hold like that today also, because the matzah is differently. We were talking about here 40 years ago, the first time they wanted him in Bar Pakta, they wanted to change, you know, not Yiddish. I mean, the Hazim Nahali Oisoi by Schirich Ladin Tire Shalayulundi Messiah Khomes Bivris, Kimbalash and Yiddish, Anog Bivati Sok Shever. Shramati Tan Oisoi, Behen Gamru Tan Isaim, that's when he said that what I quote it. Kishipnei Agoin at Sadak Agoz Axel, Boyrim Kalap and H, Behen of Habdoy Lachim, Noitis in Gavin Haborak, Mikdushas Perosai, Behink Vyoda Hatar Al Shukhan Hashel of Ne Hashem, Hakoach, Hakoach, Oil Cheres of the Kim Batar, Gerech, Gerech, the Dabatina Rab, is Gerech. Kedush, Kabbalah, Yadei, and this whole thing from Holland. You know? This was him. I mean, you want to put out the tape, I'm going to tell you stories a little, but this is the only way I can do it.
He's not personal.
Huh? It can't be so much personal, but I heard these are things that I heard from people.
Yeah. Okay.
So put, is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize. I mean, Ramesh Sarah said in the groundbreaking here in Lakewood, the base faker, that he was the greatest person who ever lived in America. I mean, I heard this. I always imagine if they were ever, you know, they write a svarim or biographies on different gedolei. If ever we put together a biography on Rashi Zatzal, which I understand is just very hard to do justice to it, and that's why it hasn't really come out. I would call it Kesser Torah, because that's what he lifted up here. He lifted up the crown of Torah. He put it on a higher level. Other Rashi Shivas, Rabbanan, Rebbes, then said it can't be done in America. His concept of color, the concept of that, whatever it is, and he—that's what he brought up.
I mean, I heard this following story from Rav Yankov Teitelbaum. I heard this from Rav Yankov Teitelbaum. I'm telling you a story. And this is when the Rashiva was still alive, I heard this. Not after someone's nifter and you tell him a mises. Yeah. I remember it was either after Shirvasa Batamas or as Matzah Tisha B'Av. Rav Yankov used to take the counselors of Camp Aguda, walk around the camp after he put the kids to sleep. After the Tanas, he tells mises of devil. And he says he was by this mises. He was in Veen. He was the Rav of Tzirai Goyeshov of Veen, Rav Yankov Teitelbaum. Veen was a city where they used to go for near vacations near there, and also there's a lot of doctors there, so it was a place that you used to find a certain kufas, many as mine, and other kufas you used to find gedalim there. So they used to have some asifas there. So there was an asifa there of gedalim arlam, Chaim Moshe was there, and other, and they were bedan something. And Rabbi Yankotan talks on himself. I remember it was a younger man and some other yeshiva, like, you know, we stood around just to hear what was going on. And Rashiv Zatzal was the youngest of the whole group of Rashivas, Rabban. And he got up to say a meaning, an opinion. And an old Rav who obviously didn't know who he was got up and told him, "Younger man, sit down. Who are you to talk in front of the Gdali Hadar?" So Rav Yankotan says, "I remember that Rav Chaim Moshe got up and told this Rav that if their younger man, Dachman Tzuharen, about the next Hadar of Zayn of Zayn Plates." And this is what I heard from Rav Yankotan, who was by this when this happened. I mean, when he was Nifter Rashi Zatzal, the whole world was in Yiddish. Everybody thought, you know, everything was in his direction. Everybody looked towards him. They thought, how could Klal Yisrael go on without him? It became also reliable. Everybody was relying on him. I mean, Torah today is because of him. He came here and said that in this golden Medina, we could do all these things. And we could learn Torah on the level of Lishma, and not for a smicha, and not for a job, and not for anything else. He more than once said at a sefer that his karas hatov to the Rabbi Kaplan and his Rebbetzin and all those who ran girls' schools. He said that if he would produce talmidim, if they didn't have anyone to marry, his work would go down the hill. So he was always a makar tov to them. And the famous story that I heard from Rabbi Yankov, that Rabbi Yankov said that when he was a child, he once brought Rashi Zatzal to his house. And Rabbi Yankov's mother asked him after Rashi Zatzal left, "Where is the yingle, the Shechina root of him?" I mean, even as a child, they saw already that he was someone special. I mean, they say the stories they tell over him is unbelievable. They tell a story that... in Yerushalayim, he used to go to Yerushalayim a lot. Ben Azmanim, he used to go for good elections or for anything. He used to go Chetzmai, wherever he used to go. So he was walking in Yerushalayim and he gave Arma Light to ask him for money. He gave money, and then he all of a sudden he turned back to go to give an Arman money a second time. So someone asked him, "My high, why are you giving him?" He said, "Because the last time I was here, we were short of money when he came to this Arman. So he remembered that this Arman that he didn't give him last time." I mean, his memory, he was a genius, they say, and he knew that it wasn't like this for generations. His memory was phenomenal. The stories can't end and can end that they tell. I know by my vort, Rebbe Perker Zatzal said the following story. My vort was the last day of Shiva, the Rosh Shiva Zatzal. So, naturally, question. So he was teaching that in Elizabeth. Look at the following story. He says, that Shmuel Kaufman, who was a Rebbe that Elizabeth with him, he's the famous Shmuel Kaufman, was a Rebbe in Detroit for many, many years. He hadn't had kids. And all of a sudden, his wife became pregnant, and he said, he's happy. He said, he's in New England, and he'll have a boy. He had said something to someone. So after he had the boy, people asked him, "What? How did you know?" So he says, his brother, Yossel Kaufman, is a Talmud Rosh Yeshiva, that's on Lakewood. So he came to Rosh Yeshiva, that's on Baruch, his brother's brother, never married a few years, and doesn't have a child. So Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal asked him, "Here Tarash Mishmacha?" "Yeah." "What does he do?" "He's a chinuch," whatever it is. He said, "Oh, he's a vore, he's a tremendous mecharech." He's a world famous mecharech. Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal told him, "Suga Zakta Yingu." So that's how he knew. So this is Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. They tell him, Mises, you know, Nisan then. And they tell about Mises Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, about his mother, that he once went in to lay down, and then he jumped out of bed, and he said, "Oh, he thinks he lay down because he's lazy. You know, not because he's a little tired, you know." He always had a sefer in his hand, and his chap was unbelievable. Torah Masorah has, like every convention, a session asked to Rosh Hashiva. So they asked Rosh Hashiva. So when Rosh Hashiva was there, they would come all the Mechach and ask him Shailas. So when he was Nifter, Rabbi Yanki became chairman of that for 1 year. So Rabbi Yanki, when it came to the day of that session, Rabbi Yanki said, "Ich bin nicht so klassisch für Rosh Hashiva, I can't answer the questions on the spot." Right? Now, earlier in the day, I'll go over it, and then I'll answer it at night. Since then, already has gone down the door that they have three Rosh Hashivas having to ask the questions. Not one Rosh Hashiva is ready to answer, and they all have to write all the questions before. Although the Kletzker Rosh Hashiva wasn't like that. Kletzker Rosh Hashiva, he answered everything. His genius was unbelievable. He answered everything on the spot. The famous story of Shmuel Feivelson, they tell over, he knew every bacher who was, or every younger man that was by the shir. So I stopped him the day after one of the shirim. He used to give a shir Shabbos. I stopped him Sunday and he asked him about the shir. So Shmuel Feivelson answered him something about the shir. So Shmuel Feivelson said, "How do you know you weren't by the shir yesterday?" So Shmuel Feivelson said, "Yeah, from 4 years ago. I was disciples 4 years." So Shmuel Feivelson said, "But you weren't by the shir 4 years ago." So Shmuel Feivelson also remembered that the Talmud wasn't there. That's his kashrus Talmud. And then Shmuel Feivelson, on the other hand, remembered from 8 years before. It tells you a lot about both people. And Rosh Hashanah used to speak very much about that a Ben Torah has to respect himself very much. You want people to give Torah, cover that Torah, you have to. Yeah. I don't know, I don't remember, I didn't hear these things from him, but I know what I know when I grew up, there was a ruach here, and I understand it was from the Rosh Hashiva, as that's all, because I know it was a filial also like that. You don't walk into a base medrash with a coat. You don't walk in with rubbers into a base medrash. When you go to bring your shirts to the cleaners, you put it in a bag. You don't walk with your shirts out. There's a certain kavod Torah that a ben Torah had to wear. You have to act differently, and this is, he used to propagate this, the only way they're going to be mafshir ben Torah, if you're going to be mafshir for yourself. I remember the Lakewood Yungalite would not answer a door without putting a jacket on. All coming from the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, from the ruach that he created.
The whole thing on that. Interesting to know.
Even though he was a person, when he gave a shir, you had fire. You never hear a shir like this. The brand and the hollering and the you heard it a mile away. It was so much in his shir. He gave the same shir for 50 years. But when he dealt with on the chavera, he was so timid and so quiet. And the chesed was unbelievable that he had with everybody in the way he dealt with. They tell about Meister Rebbe Lapian. Gave a shmooze once in Lakewood, and he was talking about Yegiyas HaTorah and everything. Starving with that, I gave a Torah, and the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal was listening there, sitting and crying. This is the biggest master in the world, Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, and he's the one crying that he doesn't mean not me again of Torah when he hears your shmooze. He was so mibayis and bivachutz, so caught up and so in Torah, you saw by it that the Rosh Hashiva was totally everything, in everything, in total, into everything, and I remember, he's the one who is not enough. The cook here in the yeshiva, the marshal, Mrs. Berman, the first cook in the BMG. So she used to make it his business and walking in front, and he used to eat with the bacher, but he used to have him go into the kitchen always and to give her a good Shabbos and to thank her. He used to talk a lot on that the importance of Das Torah, Kavanat Torah, Kavanat Shemayim. These were themes that you heard Keseder. These are that he always would speak about. How he lifted up to the whole Torah against America. One little younger bacher, younger man who was driving him, he came into the car and they were about to leave. He says, "Ein minut." So he ran in. So the bracha fell, and why did he stop and go back in? He went in and said, "I'm good to talk to his Rebbe." And he had forgot to tell her a good day when he left. So then, in the car, he went back and said, "How good to talk." You know, this is it's feelings for someone else. You know.
Yeah. I heard this story from a nephew of mine, Henrich Zaks. He's an uncle of Mendel Zaks. He's Reb Gershon Zaks' son. So he